Nick, tell me the story of Carl Wolf.
Sure. Yeah, this is sort of another example, George, a very good example of the way in which NASA has actually been involved in the censoring of photographs. Carl Wolf was in the U.S. Air Force, and in 1965, he was assigned to Langley Air Force Base, Virginia, on a program that was connected with NASA's Lunar Orbiter project. And while there, he got chatting on one particular occasion to a fellow airman who was also working on the project. And as they began talking, it became clear to Carl Wolf that this particular airman was deeply worried about something that seemed, you know, very significant. And the man finally confided in Wolf that during the course of its analysis of photographs of the moon, NASA had actually uncovered apparently evidence of a large base of unknown origin and intent on the far side of the moon's surface. Now, there was absolutely no doubt, apparently, on the part of those whose job it was to analyze the pictures, that they, you know, they clearly weren't misinterpreting, say, unusual rock formations or, you know, shadows just playing tricks on the eye, so to speak. It did seem to be something that, you know, looked like a huge sprawling city more than anything else on the far side of the moon. And Carl Wolf, you know, realizing that he'd just been exposed to a story that was pretty much surely going to be the subject of a high degree of official secrecy, he chose to break off the conversation, even though it had sort of clearly fascinated him and intrigued him. But for some time afterwards, you know, Wolf wondered if this discovery would one day be announced to the world at large on the nation's news, and, you know, he waited and waited, and of course, it didn't happen. So in other words, you know, the photograph has, or the footage, film, whatever it was, in the same fashion as with Donna Hare, you know, it entered NASA, it was analyzed, but it didn't come out at the other end into the public domain. And the story of Carl Wolf and Donna Hare are just two examples of you know, this particular picture that we're seeing of classified photographs or doctored photographs, shall we say, in some cases. And, you know, it obviously begs the question of how much more footage and photographic evidence of this type, you know, is still on file, that still hasn't surfaced at all.
If there were cities or structures, why don't they want us to know about it, Nick? Why hide it?
Well, you know, I think, for me at least, I mean, admittedly it's speculation, but I think one of the possible reasons is because the government isn't in control of the situation. You know, if it was just the case that, oh, well, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, we did have some contact with aliens, but, you know, it was everything's okay, they're friendly, etc. I don't think that necessarily would be too shocking. It would be profound news, but it might not be too shocking and disturbing.
And most people would say, I knew it. Told you so.
Yeah, exactly. But I do think also there's a possibility if the government had to qualify that by then saying, well, we know UFOs exist, but number one, we're not sure where they're from. Number two, we don't know why they're here. Number three, we actually can't control them. Then that might, you know, affect a lot of people.
Well, and four, they're taking people.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And we can't stop
well.
Them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know, we're not in control of the skies. We're not even in control of protecting our population. So, you know, it's this sort of can of worms that could open up. Even if there's a bit of disclosure, you know, how much more could come tumbling out? And I feel that possibly the government is reluctant to even sort of go down the path a little bit for the fear that it will open everything up, and who knows what might come tumbling out then.
Yeah, absolutely. The Face on Mars, of course, Richard Hoagland years ago started Monuments on Mars. Tell me your thoughts about the Face on Mars.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the Face on Mars to me is a fascinating one, because not just because of what the face is or what it may represent, but also the implications of what it could mean as well. I'm sure pretty much all the listeners have heard of the Face on Mars, but for those who haven't, it was basically, the story goes back to July 25, 1976, when NASA's Viking 1 space probe, which was orbiting the planet of Mars at the time, photographed an area of Mars called Cydonia, which lies at roughly 10 degrees north of the Martian equator. And several of the photographs that were taken seemed to show what looked like a very human-like face staring eerily up from the surface of Mars. Now, NASA back then and today, you know, doesn't avoid talking about the face on Mars. Rather, what they say is that it's a wholly natural, huge mesa, and that when the shadows and the light, etc., is in the right position, it kind of resembles a face. You know, their view is it's like seeing faces in clouds. However, if you look at the controversy in its entire context, then it's clear to me, having studied this and having spoken with various experts and authors in the research field, in the Face on Mars research field, there's little doubt in my mind at all that the Face on Mars is a very, very ancient artificial carved structure, probably carved out of an original mesa,
mm-hmm.
but
Sphinx was, right?
Yeah, kind of like mega-scale engineering, if you like, to, you know, create this face. Now, one of the people I interviewed for the book very extensively was Mac Tonis, who died in 2009. But back in 2004, Mac wrote a book called After the Martian Apocalypse, and he delved into this whole issue very, very deeply and had a lot of important and, you know, groundbreaking theories to talk about. I mean, for example, one of the things that Mac pointed out was the fact that, you know, the face points upwards. In other words, if it's a carved structure, which I believe it is and Mac did, it has to be seen from above. You know, and this then provokes comments and, you know, observations with respect to space flight or at least aviation. You know, you don't create something to be seen from above if there's nothing going on above you. So, you know, and of course one of the bigger issues is the face looks very human-like. And that sort of begs the question, does that mean there's a connection between the beings, the people who built the face on Mars and our own civilization?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it just the case that the Martians, if it was an indigenous race of Martians, you know, who may have built it, who knows how long ago, 50,000 years, 100,000 years ago, did they just happen to look like us by chance? Or, you know, did some sort of catastrophic planetary disaster occur where, you know, the Mars was once a flourishing planet and a civilization? There is evidence, you know, that Mars did once have a lot of water,
sure.
You know, oceans, lakes, vegetation, etc. And so if some huge disaster did occur, who knows? You know, Mac did speculate that maybe in our distant past, some sort of surviving band of Martians may have made their way to the Earth.
What if they were space travelers who traveled to Mars and to Earth?
Yeah, I mean, that's actually another very good point, the idea that maybe in the distant past, perhaps the Earth and Mars were colonized. And, you know, we only have to look at the fact that where we have the face on Mars in the region of Cydonia, just a stone's throw away, you can see on some of the photographs what looked like the remains of ancient pyramids.
Yes.
Yes, they're certainly in some cases damaged, which you would expect, you know, over...
Weathered away, yeah.
Weathered away or, you know, meteorite strikes, who knows what, earthquakes, etc. But when you look at them and you place the face on Mars, which has a Sphinx-like appearance with these pyramids... And then we find, you know, in ancient Egypt, we have the pyramids and, you know, the Sphinx. You have to wonder, was somebody influencing, you know, life on both worlds, or was there colonization going on in the distant past? Were some of our ancient civilizations, you know, kind of kick-started, I don't necessarily say created, but possibly kick-started and sort of rebooted and, you know, with the help of advanced technologies and people from elsewhere? So I think... This is one of the important things about the face on Mars. It's not just whether it's artificial or not. It's these profound implications that stem from who built it, why was it built, where did they go to, where did they come from, did they come here? Ironically, are we actually the surviving remnants of the Martians who may have come here, you know, thousands of years ago? Are we going to go back home when we one day go to Mars?
Have we found any files about the face on Mars within NASA?
Well, you know, the only thing that have been publicly released, at least, are, you know, the photographs which NASA say essentially lay the matter to rest for them. Now, when I interviewed Mac Tonis, you know, about this whole issue as to whether or not, you know, anything's been hidden at all, this is what he actually told me. When NASA and the Jet Propulsion Lab released the first Mars Global Surveyor image of the face in 1998, they chose to subject the image to a high-pass filter that made the face look hopelessly vague.
Mm-hmm.
This was almost certainly done as a deliberate attempt to nullify public interest in a feature that the space agency is determined to ignore. So, yes, there is a cover-up, but it's in plain view for anyone who cares to look into the matter objectively.